Is that yellow enough for you? Please gaze upon this question. Just for a minute before I start. Why do people leave the church and the Lord? Why? Why do people quit their jobs? Work has lost its appeal. You just can't see the fruit of your labor anymore. There's just no excitement in it. You know, I used to be inspired to work hard and to grow in my goals. It's evaporated. It's dried up. I just don't feel it anymore. My manager, ruthless, narcissist, cold, indifferent. He doesn't care a lick about me. You know, I did good on that deal. I worked hard on that. Look at the benefit it brought the company. Wouldn't you call that admirable? Well, the narcissist doesn't think so. You know, folks, if you are a manager, people need positive feedback. They need a pat on the back every now and then. Not just negative, not what they could do better, all the time. What have you done that's positive and worthy? And parents, I will tell you, when your children do good, you need to give them a pat on the back. You're managing your house. It's really no different. So, when people begin to have this attitude about their work, they give up and they quit. Because they're not getting the support they need to do their job. And perhaps there's not enough tools to do it properly. Or perhaps manpower. They're having to do too much. Or resources. Or whatever the case. They lacked growth opportunities. You didn't give them something to shoot for. They faced only a dead-end job. Or at least in their mind, that's what it is. It was not only a question of advancement, quite frankly, from time to time, people can just get bored. Financial incentive, it's important, right? Maybe what they're making is not in line with their effort or their results. People need incentives. They need reward for good work. Man, I tell you what, I don't need this hassle for what I'm making. I can tell you that. Well, here's the point. This is the temptation that leads folks to quit the Lord's service. It's the same thing. We need to recognize the signs and know how to deal with it. Why do people quit the church? People who are serving members of the body of Christ, the family of God, I have seen it throughout my life. Many times, they just quit. They just give up. They throw in the towel. They quit coming to services regularly. They just quit. They stop coming to Sunday Bible class. They become disinterested in Bible classes. They get caught up talking in the foyer. Now, there are times, ladies and gentlemen, to talk in the foyer when you're chasing after a visitor that may be leaving. But I'll tell you, if you're a member of this congregation and we are assembling in here to study the Bible, please consider the work that has been done by those who are teaching. Please, I don't know if you hold this opinion that I do, but I think it's rather rude to sit out there and talk while we're trying to study the Word of God. Amen. I'm sorry. I may pay for that later on, but you know what? I've gotten to the age where I tried to say that nicely. Did I say that nicely? I did use the word rude. That's better than the word I could have used. But what does that tell you about somebody who does that? Then Wednesday nights, something ends up taking up their time. They can't come on Wednesday night. And then worship. Well, it used to be every Sunday, and now it's every second Sunday. They kind of, you know, on a 4-week period, they'll do the 2-time deal. Not every first day of the week when the disciples come together to break bread. And then it's once a month, and then every first Sunday of the month, and then the giving financially to the Lord seems to stop. And then they quit serving others in the congregation. They're just not the servants that they once were. They've lost interest in that. They quit volunteering. They quit teaching in the back these young children who need this teaching. And whatever the work is, whatever capacity it is, they quit having fellowship and participating in events. They quit reading the Bible. They quit sharing their faith. They quit praying. They just quit being faithful members of the Lord's church. And then they just quit the Lord. There are many reasons we give for losing interest in quitting. Too busy with work. I have a family. Okay? I've got children. You have no idea what it's like to have children. Really. Everybody should have 2 at a time. Once. Well, you know, we just moved. There's schedules at school. School is tight on the schedules. There's stuff to do all the time. You know, we've got homework piling up. And sports. I remember my daddy. Boy, the coach got so angry with him. I was a pitcher. And Dad warned that coach early on. He said, you know what? He said, Stephen, go participate on Wednesday night. And the coach just smiled and said, yeah, Dr. Garrett, okay. Well, Wednesday night rolled around and we had a ball game. And guess where Steve Garrett was? In his uniform at Bible class. And when it was over and Dad quit visiting, Then we went out to the ballpark. And the coach, I'll never forget this, got out of the dugout and went like that. Dad walked me up there. And he said, get on the mound now. And I remember Daddy telling him, I told you, God Almighty is more important than your ball game to my son, and should be to you. Sports is a problem, isn't it? Or how about this? I just don't like the direction that Bel Air Church is going. I don't like the path they're taking. Bible class is boring. Well, why don't you teach it? Too modern? Too conservative, too slow, too much, too little, too fast, too slow, too big, too wide, too whatever, you fill in the blanks. Or we don't agree with the elders. Well, who agrees with everybody all the time? Step in their shoes for just a minute. Listen, I don't agree with the elders all the time. Doesn't mean what they're doing is wrong. And who's to say I know the right way? Or the preacher. I don't agree with that preacher. I don't like his style. I don't like the way he preaches from the pulpit. I don't like how hard he is. You know, he yells. I don't yell. I just emphasize. Well, I don't like their personality. I don't like their preaching style. I don't like their priorities. I don't like a whole lot of things. When we want to quit, there are a number of excuses that will immediately justify doing whatever we want to do. Isn't that right, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't that right? Come on now. Truth is, when we are determined to quit, any excuse will do. It doesn't matter what it is. Scripture is clear regarding this issue associated with the temptation to quit the church, our faith, and the Lord. Scripture is clear. It also gives us ways to overcome the temptation to just give up and quit. This is not something new. What did Jesus tell his disciples, Matthew chapter 10, verse 17? What did he tell him? Those disciples sitting there, now can you imagine this? I don't think this is going to happen to any of you up in this church, okay? But you listen to what Jesus said to his disciples, okay? He said, you're going to be beaten. You're going to be whipped. You're going to be persecuted beyond all belief. All kinds of bad things are going to happen to you. And what does he say to them? He says to them, do not quit. Do not quit. I'm telling you now, these things are going to happen to you. Don't quit. Now, the opposite of quitting is to be what? Patient. Y'all know Xander Moody, don't you? Brent's been here several times to preach on our summer series. Katie and Brent have to deal with Xander. Xander has had cancer in his leg. He's just a little boy. They came over, and for about an hour yesterday, Katie kind of outlined what they've had to go through in the last more than a year. What they've had to deal with. And, you know, tears would well up in her eyes. I won't go through everything she said, but as she was talking along, she said, you know, she said it would be easy to quit. And I thought, how in the world does this woman know what I'm going to preach on? And I told her. I said, Katie. She said, well, she said, listen, the opposite of quitting is patience. I said, you want to come preach? The opposite of quitting is to be filled with patience. Patience is a virtue. It's a mark of a spirit-filled life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, you know this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. You know this. Patience is the ability to remain under control while enduring challenges in your life, frustrations in your life, outside of the church and inside the church, delays, provocation. Patience is this. You want to write down something? Write this down. Endurance. That's a no-give-up attitude. Calmness through the storm. Tolerance. Perseverance. To not give up. Now, there were some folks in the Bible who were tempted to quit. Moses was one of them. And we just read about Moses. Thank you, Tosin. Moses began well, but it wasn't long before he was so loaded down with responsibilities and work, he was overwhelmed by it. His father-in-law, Jethro. Now, I got to tell you what. I pointed Alan and Thomas to this passage, and I said, hey, you know, Moses listened to Jethro, you know. I'm just joking. But Jethro counseled him to delegate his work. To delegate his work to the other leaders in the nation. In other words, Jethro said, will you quit micromanaging and delegate? Jethro warned Moses that if he followed his advice in this matter, he would be able to endure his ministry. One reason why good people quit serving the Lord is too much responsibility and too much work. Good-willed members, new Christians, often take on way too much responsibility too quickly, and they become discouraged. They look around them, and they go, what are these people doing? Not much. Often leaders find that if they're going to get things done, they got to do it themselves. Not me. I learned that lesson. The engineers that work for me know, if I didn't love you and trust you and care for you and believe in you, you wouldn't work for me. Mm-mm. You're grown men and grown women. Here's the responsibility. Here are the goals. Take off, partner. I got my own problems to deal with. If you got an issue, call me on the telephone. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, it's no different here. In the work of the Lord, there's always more needs and more things to do than time or energy or resources will allow. It's easy to be overwhelmed. Listen, I have been in these congregations that are struggling to start. The Columbus Church was one of them. Throughout my whole career preaching the gospel, I have tried to go places where folks were having a difficult time, who wanted to grow, but they weren't. And Muffy and I felt the weight at the beginning of all of it. But then we start delegating. Well, and I start preaching too. I will tell you this, the Columbus Church could take a right to the jaw as well as anybody I ever saw. And they buckled down And now you ought to see that congregation. I think there's 120 or 130 folks there. I don't think there was 30 when we showed up. Now, that wasn't me. That was the Lord's blessing. But the truth is, that was the Lord's blessing with a group of people that wanted to work. They wanted things to change. It's easy to get overcommitted. I get that. Quitting everything from time to time seems like a great solution. I understand this. But it's not the way to solve problems. It's a great way for a preacher to think he's solving a problem by just quitting. Now, we read this.
I don't think I'm going to read it again. How do we deal with church work?
The best way to deal with church work is to make it a priority. And not only a priority, but to find a balance. Church work is important. But it's not the only thing in life. Caring for your family, caring for yourself, your career, those are important things. You've got to provide for your family. Try to allot a portion of time and resources to serve the church. And that will leave the appropriate time and energy for other things. Listen, there has to be a balance. Pick a spot where you can serve effectively and focus on these things. That's what I did early in my career. When I got out of college and I went to work, my first job, I made my mind up that what I could do was this. Now, what some of you may be doing out there is you're going to yourself, you're going, that's what I thought. And so that's what I did. I made my mind up. I made it a priority. Determined to train and delegate. Listen, we need to learn to delegate. The best way to avoid being overwhelmed is to cultivate others to do the work and then let them do it. Get out of the way. We have new members here. Put them to work, people. Give them a job to do. Every preacher, every elder, every teacher should consciously be looking for and training someone else to help them. We should be looking to teach what it is that we know, but we get swamped because we don't allow other folks to help. You got to help. But the real problem, I think, with a lot of folks is they don't want you to help if you don't do it their way. Am I right?
Well, if you don't do it my way.
You know, that's the hard thing, isn't it? Well, you know, I've done this for 25 years. I've done this more than 25 years. What's hard about training somebody? What's hard about getting somebody on the team? Well, I'd like to train somebody, but they got to do it my way. No, they don't. That's the thing about training somebody. Quit micromanaging. Let them do it the way they want to do it. Hey, believe me, if it won't work, they'll find out. They might come back to you to ask you a question. You've got to let folks learn how to do it their way, effectively. We must learn to recharge spiritually. Spiritual fatigue is not solved by getting enough sleep. That's not the way you solve it. We need to recharge our spiritual batteries. And you know how you do that? You do that with prayer and study. Working for the Lord is rewarding. But if we don't learn to focus and balance our efforts, if we don't train others to help and renew ourselves spiritually, burnout is going to cause us to want to quit. Okay? Now let's move to Job's wife. Let's move to Job's wife. This we are going to read. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." By the way, just a side note, He's doing that today too. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? I scratched my head while I was studying that this week, and I thought, wonder if he's ever said, have you considered my servant Steve? There is no one on the earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to his face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then. He is in your hands, but spare his life. Must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself, ladies and gentlemen, he scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. And his wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Not everybody suffers as many tragedies in one day as Job. But there are Christians that suffer one painful episode after another. I have seen it through the years until quitting God and quitting life seems like the only alternative. This was not Job's response. His wife reacted this way. Now I want you to remember a few things about her. She lost her wealth. She lost her children. She lost her position. She lost the affection of her husband. She suffered, ladies and gentlemen. She suffered. We just think she was a mindless old goat. She suffered. And what did she tell Job to do? Why don't you just curse God and die? I believe this response was triggered by something, guys. It was triggered by pain. And it was triggered by suffering. And what that did is it just beat her faith away. We still have death. And we have divorce. And we have illness. And we have mental and physical abuse that maybe we've had to go through in our lives, and the stress of work and caring for children, and children that get sick, and caring for elderly parents, and the stresses and the trials and the problems and tribulations that come with that, until it just seems we have nothing. We have nothing left. We got nothing. Never mind something for the Lord. We've got nothing left in us. But also, people become weak spiritually because they're young in the faith. We have young members of our congregation. Some have neglected their faith, and so they become vulnerable when bad times come. Job survived the flash flood of suffering and pain. And why is that, ladies and gentlemen? You tell me why that is. I'll tell you why it is. Because he was strong spiritually and his faith was well grounded. That's why he could deal with it. We Christians have no trouble maintaining their faith when minimal effort or service or study in the good times. They can do it in the good times. They go to church every other week, and it's okay with them, right? And they look at their Bible every once in a while. They've got it on the table there in the living room. They pray on special occasions, but when tragedy strikes, when problems come, when life turns sour, when suffering persists month after month after month and year after year, they wonder why their faith won't sustain them. I've had people come to me and ask me that question. And they find it easy to give up believing. They give up believing in God. The only way to have a strong faith in times of trouble is what, guys? What is it? Tell me the answer. It is to build your faith during times of peace. How? By attending Bible class, by attending worship, by going out to eat on Sunday after church services because you know you're supposed to come back at 1:30 to praise God in song and to pray for folks. Reading the Bible regularly. In the morning, at noon, at night, whenever you can, fellowshipping with the brethren, serving others, giving. It's that steady type of faith that gets you ready for the bad times. That's the only way that you can make it. These types of spiritual exercises, you see, you got to exercise to be able to build your muscles up, right? You got to exercise, you got to run to build up your cardiovascular system. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, that's what builds your faith. The spiritual exercises. Then you'll be able to withstand the storms of life. I'll tell you, when they come, let me be clear to you, storms will come. They will come. I don't care who you are. Some without warning. No one gives thoughts to levees breaking and flash floods. Nobody thinks about building storm walls or how you're going to warn people. But you're sure glad you built it right for that 175-mile-an-hour wind that comes through on a hurricane or that raging river that runs through it. 40 feet in 40 minutes. God Almighty. Those people lost their children. How would your faith stand up? I ask you, what if that had been my babies, Hannah and Garrett? Ashlyn, Caitlin. Don't you see it's the same with our faith? Don't you get that? We may not give much thought to the value of Sunday worship or attending and participating in Bible classes, which you should do. Or attention to regular Bible reading. Or developing relationships with our brethren in the church. Why? Because that's time consuming and it requires effort. And I've got to work and I am tired. I'm going home. I get it. But when your life falls apart, when heartache and sickness and the death of loved ones hit you on all sides, isn't it good to know that you have faithful friends and a strong heart filled with God's word to get you through it? Many among us have quit for a similar reason. I quit one time for similar reason. The Lord adds to our number each year, but you know what Satan does? He whittles it down. I've seen it. He whittles that number down one by one. The Lord is at work sustaining us, but Satan's goal is to destroy us. And in all those who I have seen quit over the last 20 years. Not just here, but other places that I've gone. Do you know that if we had all the people that quit here at the Bel Air Church in the last 20 years, do you know we couldn't hold those people in here? Many will be tempted to quit for the same reasons. Let me tell you something. Satan, let me say it this way. Nothing has changed since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Satan cannot take the Christian's reward of heaven from him. It is not possible. He cannot do it. The only way the Christian loses eternal life is by quitting on the Christian life that he's currently trying to live. That's the only way you lose, is if you quit. If you quit, you will regret it. I remember one little old boy in the eighth grade, I think it was, he was in my cabin. And I told those kids I didn't want any phones in my cabin. This boy had a watch that he could call his mama on that thing. And man, it was late at night, and I just woke up for what I always slept by the door, okay, because I was scared that those kids gonna go out that door. And he was back there in his bed just crying and boo-hooing and messing with his watch. He was texting his mama on his watch. I said, boy, have you lost your mind? What in the world are you doing? You need to be asleep. Now come here. I got him out of bed and I brought him outside, put my arm around him. He said, Mr. Garrett, Mr. Steve, I just want to go home. I want to go home. I just want to quit. Would you tell Mr. John? I said, let me tell you what. If you do this, you will never forget it for the rest of your life. This will stick in your head because you gave up. You're a quitter. I said, you want to be a quitter? Or you want to be on my team? And he looked up at me and he smiled. He said, will you help me? I said, you bet I will. But you ain't sleeping in my bed. So get your behind over there. Get in that bed and go to sleep. We'll talk about it in the morning. He made it. He made it. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. All of us can quit. That's easy. Quitting. You lose, and everyone around you loses. And I'm going to tell you why. Because just like flash floods, Jesus may come at any hour. Is that right or is that wrong? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Who knows when he's going to come? He could come at any time. Will you be counted with the quitters? Will you be counted with the unbelievers? I ask you, Bel Air. Your family and friends, they're depending upon you and your faith. Mothers and daddies, your children are depending on your faith. Don't quit. Because let me tell you what the Lord's going to say. And we know what he's going to say. I never knew you. Depart from me. You that works iniquity. Friends and brethren, we can be successful in establishing a strong church. Right here for future generations. We can do it. And I'm thankful for faithful brethren who have came before us. They've come before us. I can name them off. Y'all may not know this, but I visited this church in the 70s. I was just 12 years old, 13. My Uncle Billy preached here. This church had a great effect upon me and my family, my daddy. I can list off the people. Some of them are in here. Some of them are watching. The elderly who were there at that time, they didn't give up, they didn't quit. These men and women laid the groundwork that has served and is serving this church right now. Children soon to be born. We've got some that are going to be born. I think we got some twins going to be born. If you'd like to know about twins, come see me and Muff. Nothing better. What a blessing. Absolutely awesome. We can build a strong congregation for them, a place to grow up in truth, a place to be married, to raise their children and future generations long after we're gone. But to be successful, we need each other. We need you. We need the help. We need the presence. We need the prayer and the effort of every single one of you and those of you that are on that TV thing. YouTube. If you have quit in your heart, ask God to renew your spirit. And let me be sure you understand, parents. It doesn't matter if you have twins or triplets or if you have one. It's a gift from God. It's a blessing from God. Don't give up your responsibility. Don't quit on your children. Determine to re-energize yourself in your work for the Lord, to be faithful. Determined to be forgiven. Determined to be restored. Don't quit. Determined to obey Him. Well, I'm done. It's amazing how God's providence works, ladies and gentlemen. I was working on this sermon before July the 4th. This kind of thing happens to me all the time. I call it providence. And I'm just so thankful that Jehovah our God has provided me the opportunity to make a determination based on His providence as to what it is I'm going to speak on as it relates to His word. Let's keep these parents, these families in our prayers. Let's think upon these things. It is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Think about it. Pray for these people who are suffering, for children who have been swept away. And don't quit. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And if you are subject to the gospel invitation, we will sing, "I Surrender All." Don't sing it if you're going to quit. Sing it because you've determined in your heart that you're going to serve Him no matter what. If you're subject to that invitation. Won't you come?